Okay. So I've actually seen you guys play live several times. Fantastic. I love it. So we have a bunch of different questions just to kind of like talk about the music, talk about kind of how you feel about it, some different kind of fun things, how you guys did with Bamboozle and stuff like that. Okay.
All right.
So the first question, it's really tough. You ready? It's you guys basically kind of do all your own music and lyric writing, from what I understand. Yeah. And you do a large portion of that?
Unless it's a cover of Spencer Bell's.
Correct. Yeah, I know you guys do cover Spencer. So what is the story behind, like, your favorite lyric that you've ever written or ever been involved in writing? Do you have a favorite one? And I know, we're gonna jump into the deep ones.
I don't know if I could pick a favorite, because they're all at one point or another, you know, such a personal and important thing, you know, when you're first writing them. And we've all got different methods for how we write our you know, Jay keeps like quite a detailed songbook of his songs. I tend to make up most of my songs during jams and then take the line out of recordings and kind of piece them together. You know, Ben Johnson does the same thing. It's man, I don't know if I can pick a favorite one.
Okay, so
fucking Santa Claus. I kind of enjoy that just for the obvious reason.
Just because it's fun and you like to say it. I get it.
Yeah, I guess I've got a bad mouth.
Yeah, it happens. It's fine. All right. So, and there's, you guys, when you play live, your shows are incredibly energetic and you guys are always switching around and kind of just jumping from instrument to instrument. How did you guys decide, like, that was how you were going to be as a band and that was one of the elements that you were going to kind of keep to your live performances? How was that kind of decision?
Well, it was always sort of part of what we were doing. First started playing live, it was at the 24 Karat Lounge, and we came in there not to do a performance. We came in there during the daytime to rehearse in the bar because there was no restriction because it's commercial zoning.
Mm-hmm.
And we set up all our gear and had some people over there, and we started playing, and the guy who owned the bar just opened the doors, and people started coming off the streets, and he was actually giving away free drinks for anyone who came in. And people started dancing, and at this point, we didn't even have songs written. So we were doing anything to keep the beat going and keep the party going. And, you know, someone had a great idea for a bass line. It was like, great, jump on the bass, you know, keep it going. And so it was really just the way it's always been. There was never a point where we kind of decided, you know, we're going to switch instruments today.
It just kind of came up naturally, which is awesome, because you guys really well, and it looks really natural when you guys switch around on stage. So when you're playing all these random crazy instruments, is there one that you prefer to play, or that maybe is your least favorite to play, or do you just like them all?
I think we like them all. You know, there's obviously instruments that some of us frequent more often than not. You know, Jackson and Ben and I tend to do lead vocals quite a lot. You know, Jared and Uncle Larry have, you know, some pretty amazing ability on the keyboard. And so does Jackson, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Jay and I are the only two who play the trumpet. There are some things that are, you know, are more specific about it. I remember I tried, Uncle Larry got a new flute about a year ago. And I tried to get the flute down, and Uncle Larry was trying to teach me. And that's one of the instruments that I looked at and just kind of went, you know, I really want to hear some on a song that's being written. I think I'm going to have to get help from a friend.
Oh, very good. Is there any instruments that you're, like, besides the flute, that you're kind of interested in picking up or adding to the group, or anything you can think that, oh, if we could bring that in, that'd be really cool?
Yeah, right now I'm actually working on sort of a Dr. Seuss-style instrument where I took two trumpets the other day and put the bell of one trumpet on the third valve.
Okay.
It's sort of the part where it curls around.
Yep.
And so it just basically looks like a trumpet with two horns on the front of it.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, whenever you play it, they're always harmonizing. And so it's actually pretty cool. You have to stick to the harmony that the two horns are being based on the distance of them. But you can play almost anything, and it sounds like two trumpets are playing it.
That's so cool.
I think we're really looking a lot into kind of creating some weird instruments in the future and doing things like that.
Fantastic! That sounds like a lot of fun. Do you have a name for that?
Home, this new incredible thing he got in Mexico while he was promoting. I think it was Aaron Ben Arrow, which movie he was promoting.
Yeah,
but it's called a a guitar, a lele, I think. It's like halfway between a ukulele and a guitar.
Wow, very that's
bizarre really... little instrument he found.
Little hybrid. That's so great. So, would you have a name for this new instrument that you've created? This like double trumpet. Is it going to be like a Grafner phone, or you know?
I would probably give Dr. Seuss the credit. Call it a Dr. Seussophone.
Fantastic. All right, so let's see. You did some touring this past spring, and you guys tweeted a lot about it. Everyone was kind of kept in the loop. It kind of sounded like this fun, crazy adventure for you guys. What was it? I mean, did you have a lot of fun with that? Did you like it? What was the vibe from all the different like venues and audiences? Clearly you like performing live, so.
Yeah, it was really incredible, and this was our first time to really be able to go across the nation where we're in a different city every day. You know, we'd gone up to Vancouver and we'd gone to Philadelphia and gone to Detroit and done these sort of satellite residencies and performances, but there is nothing more rewarding than, you know, playing a show and packing everything up and rolling into the next town and, you know, maybe doing an in-store and then going and playing another show. And just the amount of people you get to meet every day and the amount of music you get to play and the experiences that you have, it's like being on hyperdrive, overdrive, yeah, or something. I don't know. it's one of the most wonderful things in the world. It takes an incredible amount of energy, you know, and at the end of the days, you're really tired. And you have to be careful not to get sick, but it is such a wonderful experience.
Fantastic. And do you guys have a tour planned coming up for the fall or anything that, you know, fans should maybe keep an eye out for or be looking forward to?
Yeah, we're going to be announcing more dates probably after the Spencer Bell Legacy Show.
Okay.
It's on the 28th, I think, of this month, or next month.
Right, and so you brought up Spencer Bell a couple times now. Do you want to maybe tell everyone a little bit about Spencer Bell and, you know, what you guys do in, like, the Legacy Show and what that's all about?
Yeah, well, for someone who doesn't know anything, the quick line is, you know, Bell was an artist and musician who, you know, we lost at the age of 19, but the work that he left behind, he left an absolute treasure trove of drawings and artwork and poetry and music, and we're trying to make sure that, you know, everyone who would be interested in that has a chance to experience it. And at the same time, we're raising a lot of money for adrenal cancer and orphan cancers and for Dr. Hammer, who works at the University of Michigan, and he's the guy who, you know, takes the money that's donated to things like the Spencer Bell Memorial Fund, and he goes down to Washington and, you know, convinces these pharmaceutical companies to make drugs that are going to save people's lives and improve people's lives.
That's really fantastic.
That's what we're doing with that.
Fantastic. And you said there's a Legacy Show coming up that you guys are participating in next month, do you think?
Yeah, it's in the end of August. I know it's either the 27th or the 28th. I'm horribly dyslexic.
That's so. Okay. And where is that going to be held? Is that in Michigan as well? Or?
Yeah, in Detroit, Michigan, at Callahan's Bar and Grill.
Fantastic. And you guys have the new album, and it's a live album. How is that, you know, how's a live album drastically different from an album being recorded in studio? How does that change for you guys when you're trying to record a live album?
It is, you know, it's incredibly different. It's a whole different game, you know. And the things you get once, and songs are different tempos within the set, you know, based on the song that came before them, and every show is its own kind of microcosm. So you might have a song that you really like from one show that, because it was at that show, doesn't work as well on the collection of songs you're putting together for the CD. There are all sorts of different things you have to consider. And then the actual recording, you know, instead of recording one or two at a time in a very controlled environment where you can go back and check and make sure that everything's perfectly tuned and that, you know, the settings on the amplifiers are all the way you want. Yeah, you know, it's just the way it is and it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, Shock and Fright, that we took on to Live and Kickin' from our show in Birmingham off this past tour. Yeah, we hadn't rehearsed Shock and Fright or played that song in months. That wasn't a song we had planned on, you know, playing a lot on tour, and it's just, you know, we sort of felt like playing it that night, and, you know, sure enough, it wound up being a recording that fit in perfectly with the songs we wanted to put on Live and Kickin' 1. And there's a lot... You're taking the chance knob and turning it all the way up. You know, you never really know what you're going to have happen, or, you know, the sort of little things that are going to sneak into the performance.
Right. Well, that's awesome. I'm excited to hear all this new live music. And so for you guys, how do you decide, like you were just saying, you know, that night you chose to play that song. How do you kind of come up with your playlists, or who's going to like play what instrument in what song, or who's going to be lead, you know, in which song? Is there like a system to it? Is it, oh, well, I wrote this song, so I'm going to be the lead lyricist on it? Or how does that work out for you guys? How do you decide who's going to do what?
Well, we decide things like the instrumentation in parts. Some of them switch. Yeah, some of the songs, you know, we'll be sitting backstage and it's kind of like, you know, do you want to play the bass on this tonight, or do you want to play guitar on this tonight, or mandolin on this tonight, and we'll switch it. Mm-hmm. But things like lead vocals, usually, you know, we know who's going to be the lead vocalist on, you know, any given song, unless it's a makeup a song.
Yeah.
But the set list, we always do that moments before we go on stage, or sometimes not at all. And we really, you know, that's kind of our huddle before we go on and perform. And we look at the other bands that have played before us and the other music, and sort of the feeling of the crowd and how things are going, and kind of decide, you know, are we going to open on something that's jazzy, or are we going to open on something that's got a slow kind of epic sweeping intro, or are we going to go right into the hardest rock and roll song we can play? Yeah, we just sort of...
So it's basically... vibe of the crowd and how you guys are feeling that night.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet. Sounds like a plan. So looking at, let's see, where is I? Okay, so how did you personally get involved with 100 Monkeys? Like, how did you find all these other guys, and how does that all work out?
Ben and Jay and I went to the same high school, which was Interlochen Arts Academy. So we'd all known each other from there, and Jackson and I were living out here going on auditions and stuff, and during the days, we have the, you know, the same manager and stuff, so we would be in the car together most often. And, you know, in L.A., you're spending 4 to maybe 6 hours a day stuck in your car. So we would bring maracas and ukuleles and drumsticks and kazoos and a tape recorder, and we would make these little albums in the car, and we called it DJ's Special Bus. And then when we would record in the living room, we would call it Ben and Jay, although oftentimes we'd get the police called on us for being too loud in the house, so even if we were at home, we'd go use the car as a recording studio. And then whenever we would record something with someone else, we would call it 100 Monkeys, you know, because we just, you know, couldn't call it like Ben and Jay and Jared and Uncle Larry and you know. And then there was about 2 years ago, Ben Johnson came out for a month. I was talking to him on the phone. He was in Philly, saying, you know, you should come out to Los Angeles. You might enjoy it. And he came out, and we set up a recording rig in the living room, and Jay was supposed to travel for that month, and his schedule got pushed back. So the three of us wound up in Los Angeles at the same time with this recording equipment, and that's when we made Monster Deluxe.
Thanks. Sorry, one of the other phones is going off. Okay, well, that's fantastic. I love the story about the car. Your original recording studio in a car. So you mentioned Uncle Larry, and I know he just kind of joined you guys like permanently, like about a year ago. Yeah, he kind of joined the band on stage. Yes.
Yeah. Back in the 24K days, the owners of that bar were the producers of the movie The Days, which is where Jackson and I were both in that movie, and we met Uncle Larry on the set there.
And so how does the dynamic having Uncle Larry, because he does some really cool percussion and he plays the flute, how does that dynamic, how did it change from who you were prior as the 100 Monkeys to who you are now with Uncle Larry?
Well, we've always kind of been growing up with the band. As long as we've been writing songs, you know, we've been partnering with Uncle Larry.
Okay.
So he's always been heavily influential. But what he really brought to us was the jazz element and the blues and jazz standards. You know, because that's the music that Uncle Larry's been making for, you know, 35, 40 years now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he shows you a lick on the bass, or he shows you a lick on the piano, or a rhythm on the drums, there's something really, really experienced just about, you know, what brings to us. And, you know, we're generally younger guys. Beyond Uncle Larry, the oldest one of us is Barrett, who's 28. So he brings a lot of weight to the music that we make, you know.
Great. Okay, so we have two questions left. This one's kind of like an inspiration question. So it's, if you could play a jam session with any musicians, who's playing drums, keys, guitar, and bass?
Ooh.
I know.
Well, I would say the 100 Monkeys would probably be the guys I would want to jam with. But the musicians who are out there are on those positions that we're really inspired by, I know that Levon Helms, who's the drummer for the band, mm-hmm. We've all kind of looked at his work quite a bit. He sings quite a bit when he plays the drums, carries a lot of lead vocals, did that song, Take a Load Off.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's singing that song while he's playing the drum set. On the keys, recently we've been really influenced by a lot of rock and roll keyboard playing. So there's, so many people, I almost couldn't name them. On the bass, I would say from the bass, it's probably the bass player from the Stevedores, Adam. His bass playing, and Dusty from Tin Tin Can, we look a lot to our peers, too.
All right, fantastic. And this is the last question. It's kind of for all your fans out there. Do you have any messages or anything you'd want to say to the Monkey Junkies that are out there that are constantly following you guys and supporting you?
Yeah, we would just say that we love you guys and we thank you so much. We're reminded every day, when we're in working, we're doing it for you guys, because having such a wonderful audience to play to and to be received by it's a dream come true, It really is. And every interview we do and every time we take fan questions and every time we go to a show, we get to meet people and, hear different stories about how people have, interacted with our music or shown it to their friends, or even if it's something that doesn't even have to do with that. It's just stories of, what's going on in people's lives. It's a big family. And especially in this day and age, it's a pretty tight-knit group because of the internet, and everyone can get online and talk to each other and network, even if you're in a different country or, on a different coast like we're doing right now.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much.